Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Time I mon iarracht I aon of chacht ar a chur, agus suilgam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhéadach ara I gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gináim go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthchar san I lis dúthail agus gimine fnacht gór a chlig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhín ann dár dárach sin, bhín marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and you're welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler. Now, have you ever wondered whether the telecoms or utility company you're dealing with actually has a weird customer service system and that you're not getting the service you think you deserve? You might have had a problem with billing or a product or a service, or you're trying to sort out the situation for an elderly parent or anything like that. Well, we got a very, very stark example this week in a court case involving AIR. And it was a case taken by the telecoms regulator, Comreg, to do with AIR's lapses in customer service, particularly with regard to complaints. And in the case, the regulator unearthed and read into the record this paragraph from AIR's customer service manual. Under no circumstances, the paragraph says, are the complaints numbers or complaints webpage addresses to be provided to any customer. Any agent found to be doing this will be subject to disciplinary under call avoidance. Now, this was criticised as a disgrace by the judge in the case, and it was used as evidence by the regulator against AIR to suggest that actually the problems that it recorded and that it had experienced from customers ringing it, the regulator, in relation to AIR's customer service issues, may have been partially by design and not just an accident. And AIR has come back in that. And we're going to cover the whole thing. JJ, have you ever had a problem with customer service from a utility company or a telecoms company?
Yes. And I suppose the sort of maddening thing about those complaints lines is that you're put on hold ad infinitum and you're just made wait there until you get frustrated enough that you just hang up. And so in this case, so what AIR is saying is, oh, it's taken out of context.
Yeah, so this is the comeback that they came with, because on its own, this paragraph is utterly damning. I mean, when I saw this and I was writing about it yesterday, I thought this is the worst thing I've seen in 20 years of covering telecoms. Now, AIR came back after the court case and they said, no, 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 folks, you've all got it wrong. The regulator has it wrong. The judge has it wrong. You have it wrong. Yes, that paragraph was in our training manual. And yes, the language could have been clearer. This is their first statement. But then they add, but actually it was to supplement another part of the training manual, which was to try to get the customer service agent to transfer the customer to the complaints department so that they wouldn't have to hang up and call again. And AIR is saying that this would have been a better experience for the customer. That's what AIR is saying. Now, it's still really bad. It's still deeply ambiguous that a paragraph like this was in AIR's customer training manual. And I've been inundated over the last 12 hours by AIR customers who say they have had issues not being able to log complaints, register complaints. because they didn't have the right trigger word.
Yeah, I mean, this is really frustrating. Mm. Just, I know you've spoken just a bit there about this, the cynical nature of it, that, you know, you have to win the verbal lottery to, you know, it's like a video game that
let's just explain that. So it came out in the court case that, and this was according to Telecom's regular Comreg, that calls would only be transferred to the proper complaints mechanism if the customer used specially designated trigger words, such as the phrase code of practice, or if they specifically mentioned the industry regulator Comreg. Now, for someone like me, I would probably understand to make reference somewhere to Comreg. For most people, they just want to get on with their service. So this is a very, very interesting thing. I'll read out an example. This is one of many examples that were texted to me. This person says that I'm just finished dealing with AIR for over a month. I initially called them in March due to my bill being higher than what I agreed to. Since then, I called them 6 times, and every time I was told it was escalated and I'd be called back within 2 days. That never happened. Last week, I rang and asked for a case number so I could escalate to Comreg. So he's used the trigger words there. Then they said that only then had he been transferred through to the proper complaints department. And then they had 10 days to resolve the issue, and then the issue was sorted. So this was a thing that was pointed out in this court case, that the regulator said that they had lots of people saying that it was only when they used the correct trigger words or when Comreg got involved, the issue was sorted.
Yeah, and I mean, you point out in your article this morning that AIR pleaded guilty to 12 counts of not complying with legal requirements. This is interesting because they're saying after the fact, after the ruling, you know, it was out of context, which is interesting to me. And also, the idea that you have to go off and be really active in your customer, you know, trying to resolve the issue as a customer, where you're supposed to be the one receiving the service.
Yeah, and you see, here's the thing. AIR CEO Oliver Loomes was on RTE's The Business Radio Show last weekend, and one of the things he was saying to commend AIR was that it's complaints had fallen from 600 a month to 27 a month. And by complaints, he meant complaints to Comreg. Well, yeah. If AIR wasn't telling people how to actually complain to Comreg or wasn't calling people back, and just to be clear, that's what the regulator argued in court, and AIR was prosecuted and it was convicted, that there were no callbacks. So the example I read out there of a promised callback, an escalation and a callback, that was not happening. And it appears in many cases still not to be happening, according to people who are contacting me about it. So this thing is just... So the question really I think we're all wondering about is, was it actually a very cynical exercise by AIR? Is it maybe endemic of customer service in some large utilities in general? Is there a policy to a greater, a lesser, a more explicit, a vaguer extent to try and pawn off people, try and tire them out, try and just get them to, you know, make it so circuitous or delay the, you know, the process that the figures look better, that they don't actually have to deal with the complaints? That's what we're all wondering, I think.
Right. And I think as well, just to AIR's credit, you do mention in the piece that according to the CCPC, you know, rather than
the old
Comreg,
competition authority, yeah,
that they their numbers of complaints had gone down. And as
just to clarify that, the number of official complaints under Comreg, the telecoms regulator, have gone down. Under the competition authority, which logs the complaints a different way, AIR is still the most complained about company in Ireland,
right,
just ahead of Ryanair.
And yeah, well, and this could be connected to the latter part of the pandemic, where a lot of people were using their, you know, their AIR service and having issues with it. And to be fair, AIR have invested in, you know, in their complaints department and other areas to the tune of $1 billion.
And this is one of the frustrating things about all this, is that it's very difficult to get a picture now of whether AIR has actually transformed or not. So let's just summarize the last 2 minutes of we've thrown around these regulatory bodies. The competition authorities says that AIR remains the most complained about company in Ireland. So that was 2023. There were 2023 figures. They received more complaints about AIR than any other company, including Ryanair, including big retailers, and including other telecoms companies. So that would indicate that there still is an issue. Now, to be fair, AIR is the biggest telecoms company. It has more phone customers. It has a hell of a lot of mobile phone customers. It has more broadband customers. So it is going to get a larger number overall of interactions and probably complaints. On the other hand, you then have the telecoms regulator, Comreg, totally different body. And complaints about AIR to it are radically down. But I'll read you the paragraph again from AIR's training manual. Under no circumstances are the complaints number or complaints webpage address to be provided to any customer. Any agent found to be doing this will be subject to a disciplinary under call avoidance. So even if that was, you know, taken as part of a wider instruction to customer care agents, you know, to transfer customers, the language there, I think AIR's first statement that the language could have been clear, I think that's an understatement.
Right.
Because if I'm a customer care agent, I am taking from that, you know, I just don't give out complaints numbers or complaint websites.
But it just to give a sport analogy, if you're a goalie and you say, oh, you know, I haven't let in so many goals, and then it turns out that you've made the goals, in fact, smaller behind you, it becomes, you know, you don't let in as many goals.
Like, yep.
And the idea as well that it was taken out of context, and that even if you say the right words, that you then get transferred. And transfer is a key verb there, because are you then waiting in that circuitous...
For 25 minutes.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes, absolutely. And we don't have data on that, but that is an absolutely, totally apt point. And it's worth pointing out that this can have real-life results. So there were some case studies, some examples of people who actually suffered because of this. The regulator, telecoms regulator in court, cited the case of a mother who, because of poor mobile service from AIR is one of three mobile networks, she was unable to make 999 calls when her daughter needed what's quoted as urgent medical attention. And then she was wrongly told that there was nothing wrong with the service. Her father also ended up in hospital after a missed delivery of his breathing machine. And she tried many, many times to contact AIR. She tried to make a complaint and AIR wouldn't give her the complaints information. So, I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty damning. And I was interested to see this story develop. And I suppose it's a complaint happening in the public sphere now that's being, you know, progressed up the ladder or up the flagpole. And we're now seeing being discussed at a sort of political level and some politicians, you know, wading into the fray.
Yeah, well, the ones that I contacted last night. So there is a thing in Ireland called the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Transport and Communications. And sometimes it's a terrible bore. Sometimes they just call people in and, you know, TDs will just end up saying that they have a constituent who can't get a broadband line, and that's fine. And sometimes they deal with more systemic issues, though. And when the ones I spoke to last night, which included the vice chairperson, Senator Jerry Horkin, and also one of the other committee members, Senator Crockwell, Jared Cockwell, they were, you know, maybe they were saying it for a soundbite, but they were pretty appalled by what they heard. And they said that they would be calling AIR, or they intended to raise the issue with an eye maybe to call AIR in before the committee. Now, where it goes from here, I'm not sure, because I'm pretty sure that anyone listening to this who is a customer of one of the other big telcos, you know, people have their stories about, I mean, Vodafone, for example. I mentioned the competition authority. In order, the complaints were number one, AIR, number two, Ryanair, number three, oddly, Currys, but number four
Vodafone. So, you know, it's not like the other big telecoms companies don't have problems and issues with their customer service or with their service in general. They do. And you can see that when you look at the Comrade complaints bulletin for telecoms companies. But I think the bigger question is, we're all wondering whether or not this is partially by design. There are only a few telecoms networks in the country. We saw, for example, that the price hikes that happened this month, it was very curious to me as somebody who's covered this sector for many, many years. I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. It was in the last 3 years. They pretty much all announced within a few months of each other that they were going to start a system where they would increase their prices every spring by the inflation rate plus a couple of percent, 3% typically. Now, they all seem to do that at around the same time. That's kind of curious. It's odd.
Right.
It's an odd that in an industry that's so important to the life and well-being of the country, communications of the country, that the players who control the network, there's only a handful of them. There are only four, maybe five, you could say, main networks. So you've got Air, which is by far the biggest. You've Vodafone, which is the biggest mobile. Three, which is the next biggest mobile, also very big. And then you have Virgin Media. You might throw Sky in there as well because it's become a big player, even though it doesn't own its own network infrastructure. They all announced that they were going to increase their prices. So this idea of concerted action, of standards that sort of, you know, happen spontaneously. We're now wondering about customer service. Like, you know, all of those people who complain about companies other than Air, and they do get a lot of complaints, you know, they're wondering, well, are these companies keeping an eye on their competitors' customer service, benchmarking them against those? And go, well, it doesn't matter because as long as it's not worse than considerably worse than them, we're all right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than your closest competitor.
Exactly.
The idea with the increasing the prices, and does that mean that we might be looking at an overhaul of customer service in the telecoms industry that, you know, we don't want to have a story out about us to the same effect. So we're going to try and streamline that process.
No. So the price increases that they're levying are to do with profitability. They're to do with trying to make money. They're not to do with specific concerns over customer service. And we're going to ring fence a certain amount of these price hikes to invest into customer service. This is purely about making money. Now, to be fair to the telecoms companies, before that, they really didn't increase their prices much for many years. I mean, prices mostly came down, actually. If you look at mobile prices in particular, and it must be said that, you know, the mobile carriers in particular, all three of them launched budget operators, GOMO, 48 and Clear Mobile, and they're all €15 a month or less. And they're running on the same network and they mostly give you exactly the same service. So, and they're not subject to price hikes every April. So there is still a part of the telecoms industry that is incredibly competitive. But there is also an issue now with, and they need to make money as well, but there is also an element of, you know, are they serious about customer service? And paragraphs like this one, telling customer care agents that under no circumstances are the complaints numbers or complaints webpage addresses to be provided to any customer, even if it's read in concert with something else, is still pretty bad.
It does strike me as a difficult, even though the listed egregious incidents of, you know, a mother not being able to make a 99 call, not being able to receive a delivery of a CPAP machine. These are, you know, woeful examples of customer care
fails. Yeah,
yeah, but to it, it must be a difficult process to try and fix the complaint service, because you eventually get people that want to call and they don't want automation. They want to talk to a person.
Yep. And it's expensive.
Yes.
It's expensive to run a call center. It's expensive to invest in customer care personnel. They built one in Sligo. That was their most recent one. Probably less expensive to build one there. Probably wages aren't as high as they might be in Dublin, which helps. But on the other hand, it's often a more affordable option just to outsource it and offshore it completely. So with some companies, when you are talking to customer service, it's clear that you're talking to somebody in another country. There are sometimes issues over comprehension, English issues like that. So that's the state we're in. I mean, obviously, you might argue that AI will solve all our problems in 5 years' time and we'll be able to deal with these. I don't think they will. I think there'll be still quite a bit of complexity. However, for now, this has been a pretty bad case, and I really do suggest that AIR has a significant issue here, and I don't think this is the last time we've heard of that. But we're going to leave it there. JJ Clark, who produced this episode, thank you very much for joining me on this, and to Gav Hennessy, who was on sound. You've been listening to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.